Now, 1 year ago this month, Bernard Madoff pleaded guilty to operating the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. He ran his operation for decades, and government regulators never found out until Madoff confessed. Harry Markopoulos knew what was going on. He was a financial analyst who repeatedly warned the SEC about Madoff and was ignored. So now he's written a book called No One Would Listen. The story starts when Markopoulos was working at a financial firm in Boston that was losing customers to Madoff. His boss asked him to replicate Madoff's financial strategy.
They bought into the story. They bought into his patina of respectability, that he was a market maker, one of the largest on the street. They thought he was a Wall Street titan, and they had no reason to doubt him. But they didn't know the math like I did.
And what made it so obvious that Bernard Madoff could not be making the returns that he was claiming?
Oh, in 5 minutes, I knew. I read his strategy statement, and it was so poorly put together, his strategy as depicted would have trouble beating a zero return. And then his performance chart went up at a 45-degree line. That line doesn't exist in finance. It only exists in geometry classes.
I don't want to get too deeply into this, but he had a strategy. He claimed to have a strategy of buying and selling stocks in such a way that it would minimize his losses, perhaps limit his gains as well. But he claimed it would lock in a steady, good return that was a little better than the market, right?
He did, but his trading size would have been so large it would have moved the markets dramatically, and we never saw his footprints in the market, which was clearly impossible. He couldn't have been there, and that's because he wasn't.
Meaning that he wasn't trading at all?
He never traded.
It was all made up.
It was all made up, and his story was so fanciful and far-fetched that the SEC should have seen through it immediately, and they didn't. I went to them with it, and I went to numerous financial press, and people didn't believe me because they said it's too big. It couldn't be Bernie. He's too well-respected. Why would he need to steal? He's already wealthy. And so they couldn't put two and two together.
Now, you're referring to the Securities and Exchange Commission. They themselves have put out a report on why they overlooked Bernard Madoff and overlooked your tips specifically for so long. The record is interesting. There are some people who seem to have believed you at the SEC and some people who seem not to have believed you. What happened? Why did it take them so long to get around to you?
Well, Boston, the people in Boston knew me. I'd worked with the Boston SEC staff repeatedly. They considered me a very good source, a credible source. But the people in New York, they don't trust anybody in Boston. There were regional turf rivalries. They got along about as well as the Yankees and the Red Sox did, unfortunately.
Mm.
And there was no national office of the whistleblower in Washington to referee and coordinate the regions. And so the regions didn't like each other, those two offices, and I had nowhere else to turn.
There was also an SEC official who said later, well, you know, this guy Markopoulos isn't really a whistleblower. He's not an employee of Madoff who's blowing the whistle, somebody on the inside. He's not even an investor who's grumpy. He's just somebody on the outside who's taking pot shots.
That same person in her deposition said that the only way I would qualify as a whistleblower is if I came in with a tape recording of Bernie Madoff admitting that he was running a Ponzi scheme.
And?
Well, obviously, I didn't have that tape, and if I did, I wouldn't have needed the SEC.
Maybe there's a lesson here in how you learn things, because you weren't working with information that was inside in any way, were you?
No, it was publicly available information. My team and I, we used cover stories. We pretended to want to invest in the Madoff complex through his feeder funds, which were the tentacles that were scamming in the victims from around the globe. And we'd ask questions pretending to invest a lot of money, and those feeder funds would tell us everything. They'd open their kimonos, and we get their documents, we get their financial statements, and that's how we pieced the case together.
How did Madoff and his colleagues respond to you over the years, knowing that you were going after them in this way?
If Madoff had known that I was going after him, he would have had me killed. He was taking money from the wrong people. He was zeroing out accounts from the Latin American drug cartels and the Russian mob and other organized criminal elements.
Why do you think he would have had you killed?
Well, if those organized crime gangs had known that he was stealing from them, they would have killed him. And so he'd have a choice. Does he want to live or does he want me dead? And that was his choice, and I don't think he would have flinched for 1 second.
This is an even more ruthless picture of the man than a guy who steals almost by guile or by charm. What evidence suggests that he was involved with organized crime?
He was using offshore companies called feeder funds. These were companies that were sending him victims on a price-per-head basis. He had 59 different management companies in over 40 nations across the world feeding him victims. He had a massive conspiracy going. He had a lot of people helping him. He did not act alone. And if you notice, he took the full 150-year sentence. He has not cooperated. He's operating under the code of silence, omerta.
Did you ever talk to the man?
I never met him. Only one man on my team, the investigative journalist Michael Okrant, had ever met Madoff.
Would you like to meet him now?
I've been asked that repeatedly, and no. I think he's a pathological liar. Why would I want to sit there and be lied to?
Harry Markopoulos, thanks very much.
Thank you.